All right, hey guys, what's going on? Welcome to what we hope is episode 6, because neither one of us were smart enough to go and check. We've got a good show for you guys today. We are going to be talking about Ant-Man and the Wasp, you know, because we're a little bit late on that one. We're going to be talking some Switch stuff, influx of Switch RPGs, something the Wii U didn't have. I'm going to talk a little bit about Captain Toad, which is not an RPG. We're going to talk maybe some cartoons a little bit if we got time. An anniversary for one of my favorite shows of all time. It just celebrates 22nd anniversary today, actually, the day it came out. We've got some questions. We got one fan question, and Tyler's got some questions for me that I have no idea what they are. And depending on time, we might have some other topics. So, you guys know who I am. Tyler, what's going on in your world? It's been a week since we saw each other. So, Ant-Man and the Wasp last week. Did not talk to each other at all this week because we're terrible people. What's going on in your world?
Mostly the new Switch RPGs. Some old ones too, but lots of Switch. I know that's kind of my go-to answer. It's been kind of like the standard thing for a little bit now. But really nothing especially has changed, because it's like the work schedule hasn't changed, my gaming schedule hasn't changed. It's mostly just been kind of relaxing, playing games, making money.
Of course. Got to make money. That's kind of important so you guys can continue to maintain where you live.
Yeah.
What's going on with me? Not much, honestly, with me either. You know, I've been kind of enjoying July a little bit. You know, it's bloody hot down here in Jacksonville. I'm kind of just really enjoying a small break, because we'll probably go over it in the next podcast. August is going to be absolutely slammed for me. I've got three conventions. I've got other things going on. I got a wedding to go to. I think I kind of mentioned this in the last one. So August is most likely going to kick my butt, as well as probably September, because there's like a lot of great games coming out in September, which we'll talk about that too.
Yeah.
But anyway, not much is going on right now. Just kind of enjoying the calm before the storm. And why don't we get right into our first topic, as we've been waiting for a week now, a little over a week, to talk about this.
Mm-hmm.
And that is Ant-Man and the Wasp. And again, guys, after we saw it, we did not talk about it at all with each other, so anything we say is going to be all new to us.
Ant-Man v. Superman.
Batman v. Superman was such a wonderful movie that we had to put Ant-Man in it.
Ant-Man Squad.
So, Jesus.
Ant-Man of Steel.
Yeah, this is the first topic, and we're already getting off course. So, for you guys that may not know, Ant-Man and the Wasp recently just came out. It was kind of a follow-up, you know, taking place. And no spoilers, obviously. I don't think we're going to do spoilers.
No.
We didn't talk about this before.
We're trying, so, as of, like, the third episode or whatever, where I started censoring you.
Yes.
I think we're trying to just avoid those consistently now, so.
Unless I'm going to be a jerk and make Tyler, you know, more work, but I'm not going
to
do that.
No spoilers unless Mike decides to be awful to me.
Well, I'm not going to be awful. But I got to say, you know, Ant-Man and the Wasp, I had a lot of high expectations for it following Infinity War, to kind of see where, and for those of you who don't know, Tyler, I don't know if you know, Ant-Man is actually one of the original Avengers in the comics.
Mm-hmm.
So to kind of not see him in part one was, you know, a little okay. You know, I think it did very well. You know, I very much enjoyed it. There was kind of a throwaway line on why he wasn't in Infinity War.
Mm-hmm.
That was only mentioned once, which was kind of like, okay, but
there is a line how they explain it, but the movie itself also kind of explains why he's been indisposed for a while.
Yes.
And why he's not able to help the Avengers in this case.
And that to me is like, okay, but then some of the other Avengers are the same way and they're all there, but why couldn't he get there? Now, at the same time, what I'm hoping, you know, well, that's kind of glass that I just hit, is that the villain in this one, Ghost, could do something for, you know, part two, maybe, kind of, sort of, because some things are going on. Plus, one of the main villains in this one is setting up for something later that I was reading that I don't think this is a spoiler. Could maybe be setting up. Could that be Mr. Harry Osborn-esque, what they're trying to do?
Yeah.
So that's something to definitely think about in that one. As for the movie itself, I thought it was done very well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I grown more into loving Ant-Man. Not obviously one of my personal favorites, but definitely someone that needs to be there, needs to really jump in, and can definitely offer some extra assistance to the main Avenger team. Wasp, obviously, Evangeline Lilly, hopefully I pronounced that right, did Wasp. She did very, very well. It was definitely more lighthearted. You go from something like Infinity War, which is dark and gritty to back to the lightheartedness of Ant-Man and the Wasp. You know, not as lighthearted as Guardians of the Galaxy, but definitely a very big change. Obviously, the end credit scene was impressive. Not spoiling anything. I don't want to make Tyler do any work. Just in general, though, I very much enjoyed this one. I thought it set up well to maybe do some things for not only part two of Infinity War, but also set up more of the MCU later, since obviously on the back end of things in the real world, really, a lot of the main actors' contracts are expiring. Some don't really want to come back. You know, who's going to come in? I thought this could set up well for more to come later. Mm-hmm. So I thought it was very good. You know, I wish they could have talked a little more about why he wasn't there, but you know, that's just me. They also had their own main problems to deal with. Really two or three different problems between the ghost and then the Harry Osborn-esque character mm-hmm. to set up. So they were dealing with two things at once, which is nice, but we'll see what happens. So I very much enjoyed it. Definitely worth going to see. But I will just say this, don't go into this expecting a whole bunch of questions to also be answered about what's going on in Infinity War, because there was only one thing that happened in the end credit scene that I'm not going to say what it was to really set up for part two after Captain Marvel, which I believe comes out in February, March of next year. Mm. So that's my thoughts. Tyler, your turn.
Okay, so I liked it too. I agree with most of what you said. I think... So, I didn't have as much of a problem with the way they explained him not being there. Mm. I think, especially whenever you... I think a big part of it just factors into his character. Just kind of his personality and how he is. It was... You know, they didn't talk a lot about it, but I think the way they explained it kind of made sense with the way that they've set him up as a person. Mm-hmm. It kind of fit his personality that he wasn't there based on the explanation they gave. What I think I liked about this one was I feel like it was a little bit more distinct, where so in these superhero movies, you know, it's like everybody has these like big personalities.
Yes.
And in each of the movies has their own distinct feel. Like, you know, an Iron Man movie more often, you know, like Thor Ragnarok kind of changed the Thor movies a little bit, changed the feel of them. But, like, you know, the Iron Man movies don't feel like the Thor movies.
Yes.
And the Guardians of the Galaxy movies don't feel like the Ant-Man movies, and so on and so forth. They all kind of have their own distinct, like, within this overarching, this umbrella franchise, each one has their own kind of, like, sub-franchise that feels like its own thing. And, you know, and those lines get blurred in, like, movies like Civil War and stuff like that. But one of my main problems with Ant-Man, the first Ant-Man... was that I didn't feel like it was distinct enough in a universe of these like really big personalities and like really powerful characters. He kind of just felt like normal.
Yeah, I guess you could say that.
And I mean, I know he's just kind of, he is just like a guy who, you know, he gets this suit. He's kind of thrust into these circumstances, but it kind of felt like his character just felt a little bland.
Yes.
As a character, he didn't really stand out to me. The character development seemed a little bit lacking. And, you know, it just, it didn't stand out to me in this franchise of, like, really big personalities and really big heroes. And I feel like that has been more remedied in this one.
Yes.
In Ant-Man and the Wasp, it felt like the different characters stood out to me a little bit more. Each one, it felt like their characters were not just fleshed out, but more distinct from each other. It didn't feel like, you know, even like him and his friends kind of seemed, you know, like just a group of people rather than individuals.
Yeah, I can see that.
And I feel like in this one, they've really worked hard to make each character feel entertaining and distinct and kind of stand out within this universe of people that definitely stand out.
Yes.
And so I think for me, the reason this worked out like even more than the other movies is because it felt like its own movie.
Yes.
It didn't feel like a carbon copy, and it didn't feel bland like the first one did to me. It felt like it stood out. The other thing that I really liked, and I touched on this with Solo. Mm-hmm. The other thing that I really liked, because, you know, like it was like I was saying with Solo, Ant-Man and the Wasp kind of feels like just a breath of fresh air. It's like a palate cleanser. Mm-hmm. I mean, it references the events of Infinity War. It definitely takes place after Infinity War, and you know that. But at the same time,
Don't you mean Civil War?
Hmm?
Don't you mean Civil War, not Infinity War? It takes place after Civil War, because they don't really know what's going on in Infinity War.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, sorry.
No, it takes place after Civil War, yeah. And it explains the circumstances and stuff from Infinity War.
Yes.
But it doesn't try too hard to be, like, a serious movie or, like, fit into, like, the canon of, like, what is happening with all the heroes. It's very much its own kind of, like, it kind of takes a breath of fresh air. It takes a step back and kind of lets you enjoy it without mm-hmm. you having to be too invested in the other movies. And I liked that about it, too.
Yeah, I agree with you on that, but I think from, like, a different side perspective, like, the way I see it, is it's shown really in the final end credits scene, or the one of two, the last one was just kind of a funny little thing,
mm-hmm.
Is that, I'm going to try to say this without spoiling it, but obviously there's something going on in Infinity War. The end credits scene is going to show that these things were going on. How did these guys not know what was going on is my question.
Yeah.
They had to have seen something somewhere.
You would think.
You would think. But granted, you know, this one was done very well. Of course, you know, they're dealing with their own problems right now, you know, with the technology and what they're mainly trying to do, who's trying to take it, what the villain is doing. So they've got their hands, you know, pretty full in this one. But at the same time, is that they never referenced or said anything like, holy cow, look what's going on over here.
Yeah.
Which...
And I could even understand, like, based on the circumstances in the movie, that maybe he wasn't, like, keeping up with the news.
Yes.
Because you even see montages of him doing all these other things, you know, like... And so I could even understand that, like, maybe him avoiding TV or something. But you would think, especially being he had, you know... helped out in Civil War,
yes,
that at some point someone would contact him whenever,
say, hey, you know,
this giant blue guy with, you know,
yeah,
all these powers is trying to kill us all, you should come help.
Well, and that's what got me, is like, why was that, like, not shown, not referenced, what was going on?
Yeah,
you know, and so if for a standalone,
unless, and I mean, it wasn't, they didn't necessarily explain it that way, but I mean, unless maybe he's trying to cut ties. Maybe they did try to contact him and he didn't respond or something like that.
He hasn't been responding, no, that's for sure, especially yeah. after that scene. But I agree with you, Tyler. I think the two ways to look at this is if you want just like a standalone, funny, fresh Marvel movie, and you're kind of picking and choosing which ones you want to see, because some people, you know, don't really like, say, the Guardians of the Galaxy movies, they don't like the Thor movies, but they like the first Ant-Man, whatever. You know, from a standalone movie on that aspect, I think you're really going to enjoy it from top mm-hmm. to bottom. For someone like me, who is a huge Marvel fan, who's read the comics, who knows that what Ant-Man is to the main Avengers team, to not see it be referenced, to not really know too much what's going on, and all of these questions could be answered in May of next year, and I could look back on this episode today and think, well, I'm a freaking idiot, because everything's going to be answered. You know, what happened? So, again, good movie. Good movie all around. Definitely worth seeing. But just don't go in there with thinking it's going to have a lot of references to Infinity War until the end credit scene, which, again, was very, very well done mm-hmm. and is going to set up, I think, a little more than most people think because of where, not non-spoilers, but where he was when something happened. I think that's going to play a part in it, too. I yeah. hope, at least.
Also, the villains in this one are so much better.
Yes.
First Ant-Man, I know I was talking about how kind of bland it was. The villain basically just turns people into slime. Just, like, makes brain juice out of them or something. And he's just kind of, like, overly angry, and he's a really stereotypical villain. And in Ant-Man and the Wasp, I kind of... And I've said this about the last few movies, about kind of, like, how they're improving their villains yes, and their motivations absolutely. And stuff like that. They're kind of humanizing the villains and things, giving them, like, real motivations rather than just making them, like, angry, scary people. And I feel like Ant-Man kind of fell into that trap a little bit as well, where, you know, it was basically just this greedy corporate businessman who was turning people into slime. And Ant-Man and the Wasp had a much improved villain, in my opinion, at least.
They did, and I think, you know, with the first one is when Marvel Studios was, like, really starting to, you know, and they said all along is that, you know, they had a 10-year plan for this when they started with the first Iron Man, but then moving along to see how people were going to react to this, to the point where, say, Guardians of the Galaxy, which is really, a C-listed Marvel series, and the Guardians that we have is actually not the main Guardians team, actually. Yeah. And then you take, you know, Ant-Man and the Wasp, which, yes, they are part of the main, you know, stable of Avengers. But at the time, it's like, who wanted to see that? Mm-hmm. And, you know, Marvel can pretty much do anything they want to do now with any of their characters. And, you know, it's going to do very, very well because, you know, people like us, we trust that they're going to put out a quality movie. Even if all of them are not going to blow us away, they are going to be very well done. And at the time, of course, you know, when we were dealing with something like this is, you know, they did not have the rights to Spider-Man from Sony. You know, at the time of this recording, you know, Fox accepted the deal for Disney to buy them, and then, you know, some of the shareholders are suing, which is going to slow down. But the thing with that is that they didn't have, you know, the Fantastic Four, they didn't have the X-Men, they didn't have those guys, which are main inaugural parts of the Avengers, no matter what you do.
Yeah.
So they didn't have to, they couldn't do those movies and then kind of push Ant-Man, Black Panther, you know, those guys a little bit off to the side, Guardians of the Galaxy. And then getting something like Captain Marvel later, mm-hmm. which I'm interested. Obviously, I'm going to see it day one.
Oh, yeah.
There's definitely. No question about it. But having someone like Captain Marvel come in to at the end to really set everything up for part two.
Yeah.
And I think I'm sorry, go ahead.
And they haven't explained exactly when that's going to be set. Obviously, it's not.
Well, Captain Marvel's in the 90s.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's right up my alley, no matter what.
They were talking about, like, they're going to be doing, like, de-aging CGI on Samuel L. Jackson and stuff. So I don't know if they're going to find a way to tie that into Infinity War and what happened there, or if it's all going to be set in the 90s. I don't know if they're going to have, like, a flash forward or kind of show what's happening now with her. But as far as I know, they're going to kind of continue the Ant-Man and the Wasp thing and, like, Captain Marvel is going to be kind of its own thing. It's not going to be super connected to like the current events and what happened. Yeah.
And it's going to be it's going to be interesting to see too how they bring her in. Like what happened? Like how is she not there for the attacks on New York or when mm-hmm. you know Ultron was coming around or anything like that? Is where was she? Was she in a comatose? Was something else going on? You know, I'm hoping those kind of questions will get answered too. Obviously, yeah. To set up for the next one, and then you know at the end of say you have Marvel like you know Nick Fury, Samuel Jackson comes in and says, "Oh well, we need to kind of put you down. We will call you when we need you," and have that kind of be like a last minute, you know, all right, we need help and we need help now. So
yeah.
Get your ass over here. But anyway, so those were my thoughts. I don't know if you had any last minute.
I think I covered my thoughts aside from what you said.
Okay. So yeah, anyway, guys, definitely worth going to check out. Getting ready for part two. Obviously, you know, we got to wait still another year, a little less than a year, but
well, I would give it 8 Avengers out of 10.
8 Avengers out of 10. I would say the same thing, but we're kind of missing somebody, but I'm not going to spoil it. But anyway, I know you know what it is. So, moving on, because we are a video game podcast too, we're going to talk some video games. I'm going to talk about Captain Toad just 2 minutes, only because it was out on Wii U at first, which of course Nintendo right now is pretty much playing the game of the Wii U never existed, so here, buy all these games again, which is fine. Because I actually never played Captain Toad on the Wii U. I don't know if you ever had it.
I did not. And I actually was thinking about picking it up, but I did not because I'm getting other games.
Which we're going to talk about in a second.
Yeah.
So I really like Captain Toad as just kind of like a relax, tough day type of work game. Tough day at work, go home, relax type of game where, you know, obviously you got to think, you know, there's things to do in it. The world, the levels are beautiful. The puzzles are beautiful. Definitely worth checking out. It is on the Nintendo Switch as well as on the 3DS as well, actually. Mm-hmm. And it's a budget title. It's like $39.99 or $29.99, yeah. One of the two. You know, for someone like me who actually never played it on the Wii U, it is definitely worth checking out because I had an interest in it at the time. But, you know, obviously back then, school, work, everything else, it would definitely be one that I'd pick up and then throw on the back burner for mm-hmm. quite some time, if not forever, and then I'd just be out $40. But definitely worth something checking out as kind of like a mixed summer game. But as Tyler would say, there's probably something else you should pick up. It actually came out on the same day. But if you have a 3DS, so I mean, both of them are really just as portable, but it's definitely one of those games that you could take with you. You're waiting at the doctor's office, going on a long car ride or a plane ride or something. That's one of those games that I think Captain Toad is, and it's definitely fun to play. Mm-hmm. So if you missed out on a Wii U, you know, it's got my stamp of approval so far. Obviously, I'm not too very far into it, but it's definitely, you know, it's got a stamp of approval for me so far.
Okay.
So we are going to talk about something else that Tyler knows more about than me, but I'm getting more and more into, just because I think the Switch has really brought me back into gaming a little bit more, just in general.
Yeah.
And those are something that the Wii U did not have a lot of. We're going to talk some Switch RPGs. Mm-hmm. So since this is more your time, Tyler, which one do you want to start with? I'll try to chime in with things that I kind of
knew. Okay, so... The obviously the big one right now, kind of the elephant in the room, is Octopath Traveler.
Yep.
Because that's it's the big new Square Enix game, the one that they've been hyping, and it just came out.
Exclusive to Switch, I believe, right?
Yeah, yep. That was a Switch exclusive. But
Square
I think
Enix getting back on the train with Nintendo.
Yeah.
Just saying.
But I think one thing that I wanted to cover was Xenoblade Chronicles 2. Because
that expansion's about to come out, isn't it?
The expansion's about to come out, and it's such an expansive RPG. Like, and, you know, that wasn't a launch title, but it came out, like, just shortly after. I think it was, what, like, November or something it came out?
It was out within the first year, I want to say. Yeah.
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 But I cannot stop playing that game. Like, even now, I'm probably closing in on, like, 80, 90 hours in that game, and there's just still so much to do. And I mean, you know, it kind of comes down to like a completionist thing. I was reading at one point that I think, you know, you can play through the story in about 60 hours, which is still huge just for a story.
Really, even for a Nintendo game, because you don't see that too much.
Yeah, not too often. But then they said the completionist route would take like 250.
Oh, shit.
And... like I said, you know, I'm probably about 80 hours in, and I think I'm maybe halfway through the story, if that. So it really is a big game, but it hasn't stopped being entertaining to me either. It's just a whole lot of fun, and it takes a whole lot of different, like, systems and integrates them really well. Kind of like the almost like a Pokemon system.
Okay.
Where you have, you're a driver, and you get these different blades. But the blades are like avatars, like, kind of like, Midna, mm-hmm. You know, you in Twilight Princess.
Yes, yes.
It's like, you know, you summon these like avatars, and it changes like your weapon and your play style based on the different blades that you get. And so there's all these different collections that you can get of those, like normal and rares and legendaries and stuff. So that's really cool. But you know, there's also kind of like it's not turn-based, but it's also not real-time combat.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of the strategy real-time-ish combat is just a whole lot of fun. And you know, as JRPGs go, it's a fairly standard plot. You know, it's like, you gotta save the world now. And, you know, he's just kind of like, you're the kind of like cookie cutter good guy who, you know, when something horrible happens, you're like, hey, we got to go save the world. And you would just want to help everybody and do good to everybody. And
like, we haven't seen that many times before.
Yeah, exactly. But it's just a fun game. It's just a whole lot of fun. And so I'm still playing that. And that's the reason I bring it up, is because, you know, one thing with some of the newer ones, they're really good. But I feel like Xenoblade Chronicles 2 is one of the examples of like a game that just it pays back in dividends. You know, it's not a game where you like you buy it and you play through a story in like 8 hours and then it sits on your shelf. This is a game that definitely you will get your money's worth out of it.
Especially with the expansion about to drop, then you're the expansion's gonna cost you, but it's one of those things that's gonna give you more to do.
Yeah.
So especially if you enjoyed the story.
Mm-hmm. Octopath Traveler. Moving on to Octopath Traveler, it's supposed to be very nostalgic of like their classic era games. It's supposed to kind of recall like Final Fantasy VI and Chrono Trigger and stuff like that. It's supposed to be reminiscent of like their classic era, and I see that in it, but it's also very unique.
Mm-hmm.
I really like the art style of it, because it's made in Unreal Engine 4. And it's got some of, like, So the water looks really good. It's got this like sparkling, like kind of pixelated water, but it's kind of this weird contrast because it looks to me like the water kind of ripples in 60 FPS and it moves a little bit faster and smoother than the rest of the game because the world around, like your character is moving at 30 frames per second and the world is kind of like this, you know, pixelated old school, like retro RPG look. But then it's got these like modern touches that kind of make it look really unique and kind of like offsets. It's not retro because it needs to be. It kind of has that retro look to be like an homage to the old games, but also has kind of these like modern effects to remind you that this is still like a new pretty game as well. And I like that a lot. Something about the art style just really captures me. It looks really good. And it also uses like different like planes. So, you know, like the things that are closest to the screen move at a slower rate than the things in the background. So you kind of get that like shifting perspective look to it too. It's a really cool effect. I like it. I like the look of it a lot. As far as the story or stories go, they seem, again, you know, they kind of seem like your somewhat generic JRPG stories.
Right.
They're entertaining. Like, not, don't get me wrong. You know, they seem good, but they do seem kind of like, you know, generic a little bit. But the really interesting thing here is that, and the reason it's called Octopath Traveler is because there's 8 different paths. There's 8 characters and each one has their own story. So you can start as any character you want, but then after you have played through that character's first chapter, you can go find another character and play through their first chapter. And there are 8 different characters that you can go find and play through all of their stories. And then once you finish all those, it moves you forward into the next chapter, but each character has their own chapter too as well. So it's like you're not playing through, you have like your overarching story, but you've also got these 8 characters who all have their own unique motivations and desires too, and they'll follow those. And so they each have kind of like their own unique style of play and their own unique quests that they need to go on to move on. And so I like that aspect of it a lot too. And obviously that one I haven't finished yet, but I'm really enjoying it so far. And each character also has their own, they have a unique like skill that they can do. Like one of them is a thief and they can steal like at any time from not just in battle, not just in combat. Cause you know, anyone can like steal in combat. That's been a thing since like the early days of Final Fantasy and stuff, but you can like walk up to a villager and try to steal from them and you'll get like a percentage, like how likely you are to do it. And if you succeed, then you might get like something common or you might get something really valuable. But if you fail, you'll also lower your reputation in that town. And so there's like a reputation system based on the actions you take with these different characters too. So there's another one that she's, you know, kind of your like seductive, like over-sexualized JRPG character.
Right.
And she can like persuade people. And if you fail to persuade them enough times, then your reputation will go down and they'll kind of think of you as you know, like dishonorable, kind of like a, you know, lowbrow, you know,
yeah,
like absolutely, kind of a disreputable character and so on and so forth. And so that's really cool too. I kind of like that each character has their own unique skills that they can use in combat or out of combat, and they have like unique effects not just on like, you know, what items you have or what characters you're with, but they also have an impact on, like, the actual world around you, your reputation with different towns and stuff like that.
Right.
And so that's super cool to me. So I really like that one. I've been enjoying that. I haven't played Shining Resonance yet. Shining Resonance Refrain was an older game. Do you remember what it came out for before? I think it was PS3. That it came out for?
If it's the one I'm thinking of, it was PS3.
It was PS3 and PS Vita or something like that.
Was it
Vita? I was wanting to think it was.
I don't know. I'm sure we'll get corrected.
Yeah.
So,
but,
I'm pretty sure it was PS3, though.
They've released the Refrain Edition for Switch. And my understanding, I haven't tried it yet. I've only played the demo, and the demo is locked into like normal mode. And even then, I wasn't super impressed by the demo. It's one of those where it's like, I might get into the game when it's like, you know, bargain bin prices. Based on the first hour or two demo that they gave me, I don't know if I'd want to play. I wouldn't want to pay full price for it. Mm. And it could get better as it goes. But right now, you know, I'm feeling like that's probably going to be one of those like $20 purchases later on. But there's also the refrain thing is you can play as like different characters and it's supposed to change the story.
Okay.
But they wouldn't let me experience that because I tried after I beat the regular one. I tried to play the refrain one and it said, you can't do this in the demo. You have to buy it. And that kind of bugged me because I'm like, if I can't play the refrain mode, why would you put an option for refrain mode in the demo? But, you know, whatever.
Just to show you it's there.
Yeah, it's neither here nor there, but it kind of bugged me that they had the option sitting there and then said, just kidding, you can't actually do that. But based on the demo, that one hasn't impressed me much, but I'm sure that I'll give it a try later on when it's cheap or something.
Okay.
Beyond that, the last one that I know of right now that just recently came out is Ease. Or, you know, however you pronounce it. It's YS. It's an acclaimed franchise. It's been around for a long time, and it kind of pioneered, like, real-time fantasy combat.
Been around since the 90s, I think.
Yeah.
It was on TurboGrafx and everything.
Yeah. And so it's kind of a big deal, and there's a bunch of them on PC now. If you're into PC, a bunch of the old ones you can play now. They've been releasing them for like more modern consoles and stuff recently. But the new one has been really acclaimed for its story, which isn't normal for the Ease series. But everybody's saying the story in this one is actually really good, like up there with the combat and stuff. And so I haven't had a chance to try it yet. I'm actually trying to find a copy to pick up. I stopped at like three different places yesterday and everybody said either they didn't have it at the time or they just didn't stock it at all. And so I'm trying to find a local place where I can pick it up so that I don't have to wait for it to get shipped here, but it might end up that I have to order it. But based on the gameplay I've seen and some of the reviews and stuff I've been reading, I'm super stoked to try it out.
And I'm actually interested in that one a little bit myself because I first discovered the Ease games on the PSP once upon a time. So having something portable and having the Switch, Ease 8 is kind of one of those ones like, hey, you know, maybe I'll go check it out.
Yeah.
So obviously I'll let you get it first because I don't want to snatch a copy of the only one left in Jacksonville. But yeah, so for me personally, I'm not the biggest RPG person out there. There are a couple things like Octopath is something I'm interested in checking out. Maybe not right away like you have, but when it gets a little lower, you know, $20-$30, mm-hmm. like Friday-ish time. Ease 8 obviously is one of those things too. For me, really, RPGs are one of those things, again, just for me to play during the summer when there's not a whole bunch of things coming out.
Yeah.
As I mentioned, and when we get closer to September, we'll be talking about a lot of our holiday games that we're looking forward to.
No, come, especially like, I know there's one or two in September, but come October, it's pretty much just going to be us constantly going on and on about all the games that are out and coming out.
Yes, absolutely. And I look forward to that podcast, if we make it that far. But we're doing well so far, 6 episodes in.
Yeah,
so
no reason to stop.
Yes, so let's see, what else is going on? I just wanted to mention this one real quick, and then we'll get to some questions. We'll kind of see how much time we have left. Is one of my personal favorite shows of all time.
My Little Pony?
Well, besides that. Okay. Brony for life.
Desperate Housewives?
Yes, actually.
Okay. Yeah,
those ladies are... Anyway,
The Young and the Restless?
Yes, thank you. You got it. Today...
The Bold and the Beautiful?
I'm just going to talk over you.
Okay, sorry.
No, it's okay. So one of my favorite shows of all time on Nickelodeon was Kenan and Kel. Obviously that paved the way for a lot more of that shows that we had nowadays, like Drake and Josh was fantastic. There are a few other ones that have really spawned it, but Kenan and Kel was something I grew up with, and it just holds a special place to me. Is that what I really liked about that show is you don't see too many shows like that, kid shows to adult shows now, much anymore. And what I mean by that is, obviously, Kenan and Kel, they got their start on All That, you know, the sketch comedy show. Mm-hmm. They were brought in for this show, and they were able to kind of just do their own thing, you know, and to improvise how they want to do something. Like, if Kel was supposed to run around and act crazy, you know, they just said, run around and act crazy. Don't
follow like a set script, like go over to this side and do this, go over here and break that lamp, just kind of do whatever you need to do to your last, go very over the top. And it was evident from the first episode, which is, I don't know if you ever watched it, Tyler, how much you've watched. One of the first episodes is, you know, Keenan was making a tuna sandwich, and he choked because there was a screw in the tuna. Yeah, I know, plot, but, you know, this was 1996, something like that. And yeah, 1996.
Wow, that sounds intense.
But what...
I gotta get right on that.
Yeah, so I don't think I'm gonna spoil anything for people 22 years later, because today, actually, the day of the recording is 22 years since the show premiered, is that Kel actually dropped the screw in the tuna, but they went along with it because Keenan was trying to sue the company, trying to make a bunch of money, and there's just a whole big scene of just Kel being all upset, like, I dropped the screw in the tuna, just, like, doing a whole bunch of crazy things, like, just going super over the top, and that's what he was instructed to do. It's like, just go over the top, do your thing, and you could kind of see the other actors that were there, like, the judge and Keenan were just, like, trying to hold it in and go with it because they didn't really even know what to expect. And that's what I liked most about this show, is that with something like that, you know, it was all them, you know, they worked on it, they decided what they wanted to do. Obviously they had a script to follow, of course, mm-hmm. you know, but in terms of like the overacting, the overzealous, the things that they did was all their idea, all they wanted to do. And it's still one of my favorite shows to this day. Every year on Christmas, I always watch the Keenan and Kel Christmas special with the automatic Santa beating the crap out of Chris. I got to show you that scene. That's,
right.
That's just one of those things. But just in general, like I absolutely love Keenan and Kel. I know later on they kind of had a disagreement. They're back together now. You know, is that was our childhood. Like I love Drake and Josh. I think you watched Drake and Josh.
Oh, yeah.
But Keenan and Kel to me is like that was the first like true main, you know, this is it. And obviously they've had a couple, I think they had one movie, Two Heads Are Better Than None, which was a Halloween special. I do watch that all the time as well. I'll watch it right now. Not just around Halloween.
You watch that one around Christmas too?
I watch that one around Christmas too, actually, you know, because I'll forget sometimes.
Thanksgiving.
They have a Thanksgiving special too.
Arbor Day,
you know it.
President's Day.
I'm going to just watch it every day. I'll never get tired of it. You know, it went out for a while. They came back together. They actually, like, I believe the first time they came back together on screen was a Jimmy Fallon skit when Jimmy was talking about, like, one of his first jobs was a teenager working at Good Burger. And then you just see Keenan walk in reprising one of his characters from All That, Lester mm-hmm. Oaks, construction worker. And, you know, Cal obviously was Ed from Good Burger. And that was the first time they, like, truly got back together, and mm-hmm. they've been doing things ever since. You know, Nickelodeon actually relaunched Double Dare recently, and they are going to be, I don't know exactly when, if it's aired yet at the time of this recording or if it's still coming, but they are going to be like contestants as a team, which is fantastic because this is who we grew up with, not just with All That at first, you know, in 1993, 1994, 1995, but up to Keenan and Kel on then to now, and they're still hanging out and they're still doing things together, which is just fantastic to me. And it's just one of my favorite shows of all time. It's still funny to me, you know. It still holds up to this day, at least in my opinion. I could be biased, but it does. And it's just one of those things. So happy 22nd anniversary to Keenan and Kel, something that just really shaped a lot of my childhood, what I laughed at, and was definitely something I look forward to sharing to my kids as well as other kids as they grow up and see what shows are really like once upon a time.
Okay.
So I know you didn't really watch it, so I don't know if you have anything you want to add.
Cool.
All right, good enough. So so we got some questions. I'm gonna start with the one that we have here, because then you have some questions for me.
I
and
do.
Then, and then,
well, there. Okay, yes. So it's not, you know, like trivia questions.
Yes.
It's kind of like discussions. They're questions, but it's stuff that you will answer together. It's
and
not just you.
I had no idea this was coming. I knew about the one question we had here, but when I got here this morning as we were putting together the show and whatever we wanted to talk about, I had no idea what Tyler was going to plan. So next, in 2 weeks when we do one, I'm going to have some questions for you that maybe we can answer.
I am not going to be here in 2 weeks.
You this, again, this is all news to me, so we'll have to talk about that.
I think I mentioned it either before Ant-Man or during the last podcast, I'm going to be traveling. We're going to Ohio.
You might. Yeah, I think, you know, you did mention that. So clearly my mind is just not there. So maybe 3 weeks. You never know. But we will definitely
gives us time to really put together a good show.
And I'm going to try to get some footage together, at least for the YouTube channel.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know how well it's going to work in like a podcast format, but if you watch us, or if you want to start watching us, at least for, you know, a little bit, I'm going to try to get some footage from the trip of like, we've got some other things planned. We're visiting family, but we're also taking probably like 6 or 7 days of that trip to do some like traveling and hitting some like nicer, like, some different like trails and historic places and stuff like that, you know, seeing some sights and stuff on the way there, on the way back. So, I'm going to try to get some footage and fun stuff that we can show you guys too.
Yes. So I'm going to start with this one question.
Yes.
And then we'll go to yours. So this is from your brother, actually, Johnny, who is a fantastic comic book artist. And Tyler, I'm sure you're going to put all sorts of links for him down below. So kind of blast him. And Johnny asks us, thank you for the question, Johnny, what video game or comic series is begging to be made into a Netflix series? Not just asking, but begging. And that's, I copied it exactly as he said. He says, and you have your list there. I'm trying not to look.
Oh, sorry.
No, it's okay. Because I've got, I'm gonna cheat a little bit. I'm going to give one comic and I'm going to give one video game series.
I've actually got more than that. I've got lots of thoughts about this.
I mean, I could probably go on and on and on about it, but I just want to get, I'm going to start with the video game one that I want to see, and then I'll get to a comic one, which may kind of be cheating a little bit, but I don't care. This is my show, our show. But I'm going to go ahead and do it anyway. The video game series I'd love to see is, I don't care, well, I mean, I guess it's really got to be CGI, but I'd love to see a Star Fox.
Okay.
I don't know why, but I guess after seeing Atlas that was coming out in this October, I'd love to see something Star Fox-esque.
Okay, you know what, though?
What?
I'm on board with that. I would not want to see CGI. I would want to see hand-drawn. I would want to see
it. If they could do it right.
I would want to see it done more like DuckTales.
I don't know if I want to see it in the animation style that DuckTales is. I mean, DuckTales is fantastic. Are we talking the new DuckTales or are we talking the 1980s DuckTales?
Either one. They're both great.
I mean, yes, they are both fantastic. I do like the animation style that DuckTales is in now for DuckTales, but I don't know if that would be one thing that I would want to see for Star Fox. Like, I'm not saying this should be an anime type of style thing like the Castlevania that's on Netflix, or what the old F-Zero or Kirby was like on WB back in the early 2000s look like. But I don't know if I want to see Star Fox in the animation style that DuckTales is in now.
How about the animation style of the Legend of Zelda cartoons?
I can see that a little bit more.
And
for it,
he's got like these like weirdly large like Botox lips.
Oh, Jesus, here we go.
And he's like, excuse me, princess.
Well, you know, because Link always talks. Honestly, I think, like, I'd like to, you know, it's going to be mixed with comedy, but maybe even a little bit in the Avatar style, like Avatar Last Airbender or Legend of Korra, maybe. I don't know. You know, I would like to see something like that, you know.
Which, did you hear that they're working on a new series?
Another Avatar series?
No. It's the same creators. The creators of Avatar are working on a new series.
I did not know that.
I'll look it up real quick. You keep talking.
Okay, so I guess, I'm kind of thinking of this as I talk. If they were to do something like a DuckTales-esque animation style, if we want to go back to the 90s and have two different Sonic the Hedgehog freaking cartoons, because why only have one? You have one that's more of the serious style, which could be done in the Legend of Korra Avatar style. And then you can have one that's maybe a little more lighthearted, blah, 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 which honestly, I don't think in today's day and age it's going to work as having two of the same characters in two different cartoons. It's kind of like, it's going to go along with what I have to say here for something else, but it's something that's been kind of kicked around before, I feel. But I could definitely see something like that too. But I think right now I'd love to see a Star Fox, you know, and the only reason why I say that is because it really hasn't been done before. You know, sometimes I could sit here and say Captain Falcon, but it's been done. Kirby's been done. Mario's been done. Zelda's been done. And yeah, I know I'm kind of rambling off a lot of Nintendo stuff, but I also wanted to try to do and talk about something that really hasn't been mentioned before. Like, you know, there were rumors of a God of War series, which obviously I think would be fantastic, but I wanted to try to pick something, at least one of my two, that was not really talked about or mentioned, or if it was mentioned, it was kind of on the very down low, like whispers in the wind, and never really picked up a lot of big big whatever I'm trying to say. I can't speak right now. But Tyler, do you have something here? Did you pull it up?
Not yet.
Not yet. Okay, so I want you to answer one of your questions first before you keep going, before I, because you have a lot. I only had two.
Okay,
so give me one of yours.
So you talked about Star Fox.
I did talk about Star Fox.
Oh, the Dragon Prince.
That sounds interesting.
Yeah,
I wonder if it'd be on Nickelodeon or if it'd be on something else.
It's Netflix.
Oh, okay.
It's, Netflix is going to be doing a new series by I don't remember his name.
I wonder who's going to buy who first. Disney buys Netflix or Netflix buys Disney?
I think it's Aaron Haas or something like that. He was one of the writers for Avatar. And he's working on a new series called The Dragon Prince. So one of mine, one of the ones that I wanted, and see, this might be cheating a little bit because there actually is a series for this.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not, first of all, it's not a Netflix series. And second of all, it was not quite what I wanted from a series because I always wanted it. It's one of those where, like, as soon as it's a comic series. And as soon as I read the comic series, I was like, this should be, like, this would make a great, like, cartoon or, like, live action series or something like that. And then it happened on Hulu. I think it's a Hulu exclusive. Mm-hmm. And it... Like, I mean, it's fine. It works, but it kind of disappointed me.
Yeah.
And that's Runaways.
Okay.
Runaways is just a whole lot of fun. It's a great comic series. If you can get the comics, they're so much fun. Mm. It's based on the idea... Do you know anything about Runaways?
Not a lot. I've heard of it.
It's so the basic idea is that it's about these kids who... They find out they have superpowers, but they find it out because they find out that their parents are supervillains. And they form their own kind of like Avengers-style group together to try to take down their parents' like evil supervillain club. And it's super fun. One of them, it's not even like a superpower, but one of them, their parents were like these crazy scientists. And they have like a live raptor in their basement. And... she ends up like befriending the raptor, and instead of having a superpower, she just has a pet raptor that saves her from everything and stuff like that. So it's a whole lot of fun, and it's written a little bit more, I'd say it's written more on like a teen level. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not like adult literature or anything, but it's also not like a kid's comic, you know? But it's a whole lot of fun, and they made it into a series. And like I said, the series is serviceable. Like, it's fine. And I enjoyed watching through it, like the first season they've got on Hulu, if you're interested. But I feel like it didn't really do the comics justice.
Mm-hmm.
I had like a different idea for some of the characters and stuff. It feels less Avengers and more Smallville. It focuses a little bit more on like, you know, the drama and the teenage kids and stuff. It goes a little bit soap opera, and I feel like they should have focused more on like the superhero aspect and the powers and things like that, rather than on like, you know, the relationships and who likes who and so on and so forth. But it's a fun show. If you're interested in it, it is worth a watch.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not quite what I expected or wanted from a Runaways series. And so that was my first one.
Okay.
My first thought was like, I would like a really good Runaways Netflix series.
Okay.
Do you want me to do another one, or do you want to do your other one?
Keep going, because I only have one more, and it looks like you got a whole...
I got like five or six. Okay. I don't have like a whole bunch. My second one is I went to a video game. I kind of tried to go back and forth.
Yeah.
So my second one is Fallout.
I would like to see something like that.
I feel like...
I'd like to see that.
And I feel like if it was done by... what's the name of the guy that did The Walking Dead?
Oh,
when it first started.
Robert... good.
Robert Kirkman.
Kirkman.
He's the writer. But, like, who is the guy that did the... Who made the show? The one that, like, got kicked off for being a jerkwad?
I know who you're talking about, but I cannot think of the name right now. I know exactly who it is.
And anyway.
As soon as we go off air, that's when I'm going to remember his name.
I know. So I'm blanking on his name. He got some bad publicity, and he ended up getting fired from The Walking Dead, if I remember right.
Wait, he did get fired from it, but it wasn't just because of all sorts of bad publicity. Actually, believe it or not, Walking Dead is a very low budget. Believe it or not. That was one of the problems that he was having, is that after season one, you know, they said, okay, we want to do another season with more episodes. I think they went from 8 to 12 or 14, mm-hmm. something like that. And they're like, yeah, we want this. Oh, and by the way, we're going to slash your budget. And we're going to add more characters. So they had bigger sets to build. They had more people to pay, more episodes to do. And they slashed the budget.
Yeah.
You know, it's Walking Dead, actually. I mean, I don't want to compare too much, because Walking Dead was more of a, I don't know if I want to say that. It was more of a bigger show, but it was, they kind of looked at it as like, kind of like Power Rangers, where it's like, well, we've got something big on our hands. Let's give them a budget of $100 and, you know, we'll feed them some bananas for lunch. Go make us a bajillion dollars.
Yeah.
And essentially, that's what Walking Dead was. And, you know, I'm going to go off top jazz for air, like we always do.
We'll give you $100 and feed you some brains.
Yes, pretty much. you know, and obviously, this is nothing really to... I mean, what I'm about to say is like, damn, really? But I wouldn't mind doing it. But I think I was reading recently is that even now, a couple of the main actors, like Andrew Lincoln, which I'll talk about later if he's leaving, if he's not leaving, mm-hmm. You know, like per episode, he was making $90,000 an episode, which, depending on how you look at it, I'm like, shit, I'll take $90,000.
For you and I, it's like, wow, that's a lot of money. But for like a big, like, well, I mean, when he started, he wasn't necessarily a big actor, but for someone who has gained such a notable name for himself on this show... That's a low ball offer,
especially for what the show is now. And then you think of other things like Big Bang Theory. Every one of those main actors for a half hour show compared to an hour show, obviously they're not doing as much as, you know, Andrew Lincoln is doing. Of course, you know, I'm sure there's stunt doubles and everything.
Yeah,
you know, they get paid $1 million plus per episode.
Frank Darabont.
Okay. That,
Frank Darabont was the original showrunner.
Yeah, so I look at things like that for budget-wise and whatnot, but that's kind of my little going off on a tangent, so go ahead.
Yeah. Tyler. But anyway, so. I feel like if he did it, because, you know, he also did, Frank Darabont, he's just like a talented dude.
Yes.
He also did, like, Shawshank Redemption, The Green Mile, stuff like that,
mm-hmm.
and I feel like in that style, that would be a really good show. I feel like, and you know, it doesn't have to be Frank Darabont, obviously, but I feel like I would love to see a Fallout series that kind of has that like gritty, grounded feel that Frank Darabont brings to his films.
Yeah, absolutely. Just give the man a budget to freaking do it.
Yeah. I feel like he could do really well with a Fallout series, and I feel like it's really well suited for it, because in this like post-apocalyptic world, it's like you have your main story, but there is so much going on in these games.
Yes.
All of these different cities, all these different side quests, all these different things that you could like base your series on. It's like, just even if you exclude like the old ones and just focused on like Fallout 3 and forward, that's so much material to work with. Just based on even, like, you know, the more popular ones. If you don't do the old PC ones. Which, those are great. You should definitely, you know, give those a shot. But I'm just saying, like, if you focus on, like, kind of the popular ones now, that's a lot of material you could work with, you know? And I'm like, I feel like it would be really well suited for its own show.
Mm-hmm. I can see that.
So Fallout was one that I was like, that would make a really good Netflix series. And I know there's the long-running thing about The Witcher right now,
mm-hmm.
Which I'm excited for, but that one, it feels like it's going through a lot right now.
Yeah.
I don't know when or if that's actually moving forward, but I feel like maybe even more than The Witcher, Fallout could be super well-suited for, like, just kind of a serialized adventure, like The Walking Dead or something.
I can see something like that. I can see something like that.
All right.
Do another one before I do
mine. I'll do one more.
Okay.
Because that'll be my halfway point. The next one is, it covers both.
Okay.
This one has been a comic, it's been books, it's been video games, it's its own franchise. And that is Dungeons & Dragons, D&D. I would love, and especially, like, specifically, I don't know, do you do any Dungeons & Dragons stuff, or have you in the past? Do you know anything about
it? I have in the past, so I know about it. I got some friends who still play now who very much enjoy Dungeons and Dragons.
I had two different ideas.
Okay.
My first was that they should specifically do a series about Dritz Do'Urden, who's like the dark elf.
Mm-hmm.
He was one of the most popular characters from the books. R.A. Salvatore wrote probably upwards of like 20 novels
mm-hmm.
about Dritz. And there's also a new one. He's got a new one coming out like later this year. It's kind of like a big return. He's making a whole new trilogy about the Dark Elf. And so I feel like a series about him could work really, really well. A lot in the same vein as like The Walking Dead or The Witcher or something like that. I feel like a series about him could work really well because there's all this backstory to fall back on, and he's just a really interesting character.
Mm.
My second idea was kind of like a mini series collection. You know how American Horror Story does it, where it's like each season is its own like standalone horror anthology.
Yeah,
I feel like you could do that, but like with the different areas, you could do like a season about the city of Baldur's Gate, and you could do a series about like Neverwinter Nights and so on and so forth. And you could do, I don't remember the name, there's like this underground metropolis where Dritz is from.
Okay.
Kind of like these underground caves, and kind of like it's a really good like world building thing in the novels about this like underground metropolis and these different like cities of elves and how they rival each other, but how they need each other and stuff like that. And so, you know, I feel like doing it kind of like serialized like that, where it's like each season is its own story and it's kind of like an anthology series, but following like different cities and different characters each season, could make a really good series as well. So
okay.
That was my third thought was just Dungeons and Dragons in some form.
I think they had something in the 80s with it, but I think we can do an updated now and get people interested.
Yeah.
I mean, it's still very popular to this day. It's not going anywhere anytime soon.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so I'm gonna do one more.
Okay.
I'm going to do one more. This one's kind of cheating a little bit because this one has been somewhat passed around to be a show on Netflix.
Mm-hmm.
And it's from a comic series that is honestly more popular now than the main TV show. And it's Power Rangers. But more of the darker tone from Boom Studios comics, you know, and the way that you can do this is you can still have the Nickelodeon show, which is more for the kids, which honestly the show nowadays really isn't that good, even for kids. Like they're kind of drifting away from it a little bit. You know, they've been averaging under 1 million views per new episode. So I'm hoping Hasbro can do something with that and kind of, you know, ramp it back up. But if Netflix were to do a Power Rangers off a Shattered Grid, you know, a little more dark, a little more gritty, you know, because it's away from a Nickelodeon, you know, kid-friendly area.
Yeah.
That would be something I would fall in love with. Like,
okay.
I mean, I'm a big Walking Dead fan, and, you know, the Walking Dead comics come out, I think, like, the first Wednesday of each month. The Power Rangers ones do as well, and it's like, I was reading the Walking Dead ones first. It's flip-flop now, because of just what's going on. Lord Drakkon is such an interesting character. I'm not going to spoil it for you, because if you haven't read him yet. Just putting this lore together of the team, of getting everybody together, fighting what they're fighting, dealing with what they're dealing with, while still also trying to be teenagers. I want to make sure I point this out. You know, they're still trying to have a life. They're in high school. They're dealing with, you know, relationships and all that kind of fun stuff too. But I think it would be such a good series just to let Netflix take it, run with it. I don't know who we could give to be a director or anything for it, but I would adore to see a Shattered Grid Power Rangers TV series. Give us that darker tone, PG, PG-13 aspect, especially with what happened a couple issues ago that one, that got you. Again, I'm not going to spoil it for you because you got to read these damn. I mean, your wife out there is a big part of the family. Okay, you got to get it for her.
I'm going to add it right now.
You're going to add it right now.
You keep ragging me on it. So it's Shattered Grid?
Power Rangers Shattered Grid is what they're on. There's about 30-some-odd issues right now. There's two separate ones. But, like, what's going on in both stories could very well eventually tie together, especially with what's going on in the secondary one in Go-Go Power Rangers. It's just so good, and one of those scenes, man, you know, I don't know how they're going to do it or what it was, but it was such, something happens you don't normally see in anything Power Rangers that I wasn't even expecting seeing in this, you know, I mean, it's been mentioned before in the actual show that this could happen, and it was mentioned in the comics that this event has happened before, but to see it happen, what Lord Drakkon did, that's a hint. And I'm not gonna tell you who Lord Drakkon is or anything or where he came from or how he was created. It was something special. And just the way some of the characters are brought up, like Finster, you know, he's not just making monsters. This really isn't a spoiler because it's explained and shown, but it's a little bit, I don't know what it's from, but it's a little bit of one of those things where he sends down or he kidnaps some humans and turns them into monsters, but they don't know until like they're like clock, or I don't remember exactly what it was because this was a couple months ago with the issues compared to where they are now, goes off and then they turn into the monsters themselves. And now the Rangers are like, well, crap, how many of these people are out there, you know? So what do we do? But no, I'm serious. It's dark though. It gets really dark. And both stories that are going on right now are absolutely fantastic. And, you know, I definitely see why, like, people are ragging on the show, people are ragging on the toys. Right now it's the comics that everybody is talking and absolutely adoring. And I definitely see why for that. And, you know, Hasbro, you know, keep it going, you know, just say Boom Studios, you know, again, they're the guys that are doing the comics, just leave them alone, just, they have the right, let them do their comics, still, Hasbro will get their cut, I'm sure, just leave Boom Studios alone, do not put your hands in it, just let these masters do what they need to do, and that's all I gotta say on that one, so.
And I've added it to my Comixology wish list.
All right.
So I will, if they're available to borrow, I'll borrow those from Comixology or pick up a couple issues or something later.
Yes. Trade paperbacks. I think there's a couple of them out now.
Well, I'll probably just get them on here.
Okay, good.
But, you know, either way, I will start reading them just for you.
Just for me, and you gotta read them to Haven, too.
Okay, I will read them out loud, story, but, you know, I'll, like, read it slowly, and then I'll, like, flip it around and be like,
just like we were back in, like, kindergarten, first grade.
Yeah.
That's how you gotta do it.
Yeah, it's the only way I know how to do it.
Exactly.
All right, so I've got three more.
Okay.
I hit my halfway point. I got, two more comics, one more video game.
Okay.
So I'll start with another comic series, which is Fables. Have you heard of Fables?
I have not heard of Fables.
Fables is, it's, so, do you know Once Upon a Time, the TV show?
Yes, I do know
it's,
that.
It's basically a really good version of Once Upon a Time.
Okay.
It's what Once Upon a Time should have been.
Okay.
So it's this idea that, like, there's a fairy tale world where, like, all of the fairy tales and characters you know of are real, but they can be, like, exiled to our world or our dimension. And, or, you know, and I mean, it kind of changes from time to time. You know, there's kind of like Shrek, you know, some of them like live among us. So you have like, different characters that are human enough that they can hang out around here. And then you got some that kind of like live out, you know, in the middle of nowhere in these like secluded farmhouses and things like that, stuff like that. But it's such a good series about kind of like, it's a little bit darker and more gritty. It's okay. Kind of about, like, first of all, just their lives and how they deal with the humans and like how humans treat them. But there's also like a lot of like mystery and intrigue. Like there's like murder mysteries and things that go on. And, The Wolf Among Us. Did you play The Wolf Among Us?
Yeah, I played a little bit of that one.
That was based on Fables.
Oh, okay.
That was based on one of the Fables comic series.
All right.
So, stuff like, I think Fables would make a really good, like, ongoing Netflix series. And I think that they could do that a lot better than they handled Once Upon a Time.
Yeah.
But, So that's...
You trust Netflix here.
Yeah. That was another... That's another comic series that I think would make a really good Netflix series, as long as it was done well. Okay. The other video game that I had in mind was the Persona series.
I could see something like that. I would see that be more done in, like, an anime style.
Well, they've already done that. They've got, like, the animes.
Yeah.
And I think they might have manga adaptions now, too, or coming.
Okay.
If they're not already out. But I would be really intrigued to see that done as, like, a live-action series.
Okay.
Because mostly just... Not even necessarily because of, like, the personas themselves. I think it could be cool to see them, like, all done up. Kind of like they did... Like, and I know I'm going to get some backlash from this, but I know how they did with, like, Death Note.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like that could be really cool, having, like, kind of the, you know, seeing the different personas and things. But even more than that, I think it would be really cool to see kind of, like, the... In this one, I'm almost thinking the opposite. I'm thinking kind of, like, that drama and relationship aspect from the games would translate really well to a TV show.
Okay.
And, you know, in some, like in Runaways and stuff, I was thinking the exact opposite. I'm like, I just want to see them be the superheroes and take down their parents and stuff like that. And in Persona, I think that it would really thrive on the main character and his relationship with others and who he decides to take with him into the dungeons and things like that. I think it could make a really excellent, like, drama show.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
And my final one, my final comic was Bone.
Okay.
Mostly just because I absolutely love Bone. It's one of my favorite comics of all time. And that one, I think, I would not do that, but definitely not live action. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you know anything about Bone.
No, that one.
But, that one.
Roll with these.
it's like a, he's like a little creature. And they are bones.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that would make a really good series, but I think that would be an anime. That would be like a DuckTales.
Okay, okay.
It would definitely be a little bit more kind of like goofy and kid-friendly, but I think that would make a really good series. But it would have to be done, like, hand-drawn animation style.
Okay.
And I know I've mentioned, I keep bringing up DuckTales today because of the subject, but I think Bone would be done really well, kind of in that style, in that same vein. So my final vote for a comic series being made into a Netflix show, probably one of my top picks would be Bone. I think that would be great. I was trying to pull it up real quick. See, like, these are
nice.
These are bones.
I like it. Just,
yeah.
Okay.
So you can see real quick. If you're watching it, you can kind of see there.
If you're not watching it, he's awkwardly holding the iPad up to the camera just to show you.
Yeah.
So
if you were not watching it, that was just awkward silence. And if you were watching it, it was probably still awkward. But you at least got to see kind of what the bones look like if you don't already know.
So there's a lot of good comic series out there to check out.
Yes.
All right. So since we're going on time, you know, I want to save some questions later. Why don't you give me... One or two. How many questions do you have? I should have asked you this before the show. And I'm not going to look because I don't want to...
Okay, so I had this, and I'll just show you. I had like this big old list of stuff we could go through. But I've got like four essentials.
Okay.
Just a little list here that I wanted to kind of... Because it's based on just a couple days ago, there was another podcast.
Mm-hmm.
It's called Film Daily.
Okay.
I don't know if you've heard of it, but there's a podcast called Film Daily, and they discussed some hot topics about movie theaters.
Okay.
And I figured, just being the vein of like what our topics are mainly about and all the movies we go see, this might be really appropriate. So I put together a few of the questions from their podcast just to kind of get your thoughts on them.
All right. Well, let's do the four. Let's go together.
So the first question is, do you think it's okay to have your phone out or talking during trailers? If you put it away during the movie, do you think it's okay to have your phone out during trailers?
You know, I'm going to say no, that's not okay. And only because, you know, when I go and see these movies, you know, especially me, like, I love going, I've seen more movies the past 2 years, you know, 2017 and half of 2018, in theaters than I have probably my entire life. So when I go to see some of these movies is that I don't see a lot of trailers. You know, I'll watch a couple of the new ones when they come out. But then there's other ones that may be like, oh, I didn't know about this one. You know, obviously me being the Marvel fan, as soon as like a Marvel trailer drops, you know, I'm right on it. But there were other ones where actually I didn't see, say, Christopher Robin trailer until we saw it in theaters.
Yeah.
You know, I knew of it, but I never saw it. So for someone like me, I say no. So
we could do that when we get back.
Yeah, we are going to see that movie.
I'm looking forward to it. Well, I'm just thinking, because that comes out, like, I think the day that we come home or the day before we come home, something like that, we could totally do Christopher Robin when we get back and then do the podcast that weekend.
Yeah, that's fine with me.
So,
so you know,
if you're listening or watching, you just got a preview of what's coming up.
Yes, because this is how we do things here. We are so professional. So, you know, I think, you know, you got to keep those phones off, especially during the previews or new trailers coming out.
Yeah, definitely.
Oh, yeah, just because, just again, for me, like, I don't see a lot of them. And, I'm interested to see what else is coming and what else could interest me.
I completely agree. And, I mean, I know a lot of people, like, watch them early on YouTube or iTunes or whatever, but it's like, there are a lot of people that go in there. And even me, you know, it's like, there are some of the trailers that I've already seen, but it's like I go in there and it's like I get excited to see these trailers because I'm like, what if there's a reveal for something that I get excited for that I didn't even know existed until that day? Not to mention the fact that it shouldn't even be a question of like, should you or shouldn't you? Because before the trailers start, they put the big old splash screen up saying, silence your phones, turn off your phones, so on and so forth. You know, and it says like, be respectful of the people around you. And so, you know, it's like, sure, have your phone out during, like, the pre-preview stuff. For us, it's always Maria Menounos. I'm sure it is for some of you, too. But for us, it's always Maria Menounos comes out and shows us, like, clips from TV shows or introduces new music to us or something like that. And it's like, yeah, fine. If you want to, like, be on Facebook or texting your girlfriend or whatever during that, by all means, do that. But whenever the theater itself is telling you, okay, we're turning down the lights, please turn off your phones, if you can't be respectful of that, then just step out for a minute.
Yeah, I mean, obviously you don't care enough to watch the trailers anyway if you're doing that.
Exactly.
So think about everyone else, because especially when you're in that dark room, like, you don't think of it. Even if you're kind of like huddled down trying to be able to, it's still bright in a dark room, even if you're on the other side of a theater. So guys, please just step out if you need to do that and let people enjoy, you know, the trailers.
Mm-hmm.
So that's my thoughts.
Yeah, no, I completely agree.
All right, second question.
Is it ever okay to leave trash in a movie theater?
Oh, good God, fucking no.
No.
Right, freaking no. Sorry, no, I hope you don't believe that. Look, guys, I've worked at retail. I have worked in a restaurant. My biggest pet peeve, and, you know, obviously at a restaurant, I don't expect you guys to just go and throw everything away, but, you know, pick up your stuff. Don't leave it. Like, when I worked retail, you know, I used to work at Michael's Arts and Crafts Store. It shocked me going down aisles trying to clean them up at night and people just leave like their Starbucks cups or wrappers or what. It's like, I wouldn't mind if you guys like found me or one of my coworkers and said, hey, I got some trash. You might say, yeah, sure, I'll take, you know, because that's, first of all, it's just disgusting. It's like going over, if I came over here, you know, we film at Tyler's apartment. If I came over here and
started like licking the microphone.
Yeah, and it's happened once. Tyler, shut up. But if he gave me something or I brought my own food over and I just left the box,
toss the wrapper under the desk.
Yeah, it's the same thing to me as if, like, you know, we're driving somewhere and, you know, you're eating a burger from McDonald's and you leave the bag in the car.
Yeah.
And just take it with you, you know? Mm-hmm. It's never okay to do that, guys. Please, you know?
It's like, they have employees that go in and clean up. They're not there to pick up your trash for you. They're there in case something happens. If you get overexcited, if you're in a horror movie and you like get overexcited and like spill some popcorn, that's one thing.
Yeah.
If you know you can't see, you know, obviously they keep it dark in there for the movie. If you can't see and you're like trying to get to the bathroom and you accidentally knock something over, it happens.
Yeah, accidents do happen.
But when you get up and leave the theater and you've just like left your half-eaten popcorn in the seat and you've like left your drink sitting in the cup holder and your kids have like the little trays of nachos with like cheese spilled all over, it's like, then you're just being rude.
Yeah, I mean, there's not much more to say about that than that. Just throw out your damn trash.
Yeah.
Please.
Alright. Now that one gets me. Third question.
Yes.
Do you think it's okay to record a scene of a movie on your phone while you're going to the bathroom?
Ooh, that's new.
I didn't realize that was a thing. I had never heard of that. But they asked it, and I was like, that's actually really interesting. Like, if you take... So, let's say you... Instead of just, like, asking someone later or going to see the movie again, you, like, pop out a little camera or your phone or something like that and prop it up and just record for, like, the 2 or 3 minutes while you're out and you can't watch it. What do you think about that?
I don't really know if I have really a thought on that, because then you're trying to backtrack when you come back and, like, try to catch up on what you missed, as well as the movie's still going on. You know, the movie's not just going to stop.
Yeah.
So that, I don't know. I mean, that's kind of really up to the person, I think, is... For me, you know, obviously, you know, I've drank, you know, and you do better than I do, but if I get a large drink, you know, I'm eventually going to have to run to the restroom, but I'm only gone for maybe a minute, 2 minutes tops.
Yeah.
So I don't really miss enough to warrant, holy crap, what the hell just happened. You know, I always try to hold it until after like an action scene or a main scene when they're just kind of sitting around talking about something that's hopefully not to do with the plot.
Mm-hmm.
But, no, I don't know. I mean, if you want to, I guess just for a second, go ahead. But then you also got to think about, well, you're replaying the scene by other people while they're trying to watch the movie that they didn't miss it. So unless you have, like, headphones on there, I don't know.
I feel like it's a weird thing.
Yes.
Like I said, it's hard to kind of make an educated decision because, you know, it's something that I hadn't really even heard about until recently.
Yes.
I think the big thing for me is... I wouldn't like it, mostly because it comes back to the phone thing.
Yeah, that's true.
To make that that's happen, true. You're going to have to pull out your phone and unlock it and then, you know, like, prop it up at the perfect angle. And I know that it's dark. You know, you're recording what the screen is seeing, but the screen is still on while the phone is recording.
Yes.
So you're still getting that backsplash of light from the phone, even if it's, like, propped up somewhere. And so I think at the end of the day, just beyond, like, the legal ramifications of it, it would also just kind of be rude to the people around you. And so I would say no, but not even because, you know, I'm not going to be a huge stickler about, like, that's pirating. If you're just doing it to watch that scene real quick later on and then delete it off your phone, I don't necessarily have, like, a moral or ethic problem with that. My thing is, again, just kind of being considerate of the people around you.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
So one more.
Yes.
Last question. Is it okay to illegally download movies or TV shows if you have your own copy? If you own a movie, is it okay to also, like, illegally download that movie to have, like, you know, on your phone or something? For, like, instead of using the digital copy that comes with a lot of movies, just because there's DRM and things that are involved with that, just having your own personal copy.
No.
Digitally.
No, and because it honestly goes back to like video game stuff, is that you own a copy of that movie, but you do not own the rights to that movie.
Mm-hmm.
So if I were to download, say, Ant-Man and the Wasp, you know, that is owned by Marvel. Marvel could say, do whatever the hell you want with it. For something like that, no, you really can't, because that's also theft.
Yeah.
You know, you bought a piece of it to use in your way, yes. You know, and when you buy that movie, you know, I don't really do the digital stuff, so I'll probably just give it all to you if you want it. And then when you own the disc, by all means, do whatever you want. Go outside, play Frisbee, flush it down the toilet, snap it in half. Do whatever you please with the movie, but... You have a digital copy to use, and then you download it. You can watch that anywhere, I assume. I don't know. I really don't deal with it. And then you have the physical copy, but you do not own the rights to that movie. And that just goes against a lot of like terms of services on everything. Is that
so? And I've looked into this a lot because I do a lot of digital, and actually, just within the last year, my wife and I got rid of the vast majority of our collection. We had like hundreds of movies, and we sold the whole collection except for maybe like 10 or 15, like some of our favorites, you know, our very special collector stuff we kept, but most of it's gone. And so I did a lot of research and work in the best way to do this. And I think the problem, kind of the dilemma here, comes because a lot of companies, they enforce their DRM so that you can only watch your copy of a movie on their service.
True.
So let's say, you know, like if you have your own personal copy, something that you've torrented, or even if you just, if you know the process, you can just rip DVDs and turn it into a format that you can watch. And even doing something like that, that way you can have it whenever, you know? Mm-hmm. But any service, so let's say that you go on Vudu. If you go on Vudu and buy a movie for $15, if Vudu ever shutters its business or has to transfer, in theory, they could say, sorry, all your movies are gone. A lot of times they'll try to accommodate you. We actually had a service that closed down, and they gave us the option to transfer our digital purchases to another company.
Which is how it's supposed to be done.
Yeah, which is great. But in theory, if they wanted, they could be like, thanks for using our system, but all the movies that you purchased from us or got through us are going to be gone whenever we close our doors. And I understand why people would be put off by that. You know, and it's like, whenever you have a physical copy, your physical copy, you can watch in any compatible player. Whenever you have a digital copy of a movie, that digital copy is handled by the digital rights management that whatever company or higher power puts in place.
That's right.
And so I understand why people are sensitive about it. But I also, like you were saying, I understand, you know, there are laws and legal ramifications to doing things like that too. And I think it's one of those weird, iffy things. And I know there are some, I think Vudu will actually let you transfer your movies to digital for a nominal fee. I think it's like $1.50, $2 per movie or something like that. And you can take one of your DVDs, pop it in, $2, and you have yourself a digital copy. But then again, it's held to that same standard. If you decide to, you know, if they close that business,
absolutely,
or close even the digital part of that business, you might be out those movies. So I understand the question, and I think, you know, I don't think I would necessarily even have a problem with someone digitizing their own film collection.
Yeah.
It's, again, I think it kind of comes down to the idea of, like, pirating.
Yeah, and honestly, for something like that, and I'm not going to get into it today, but it also kind of goes down to digital distribution on video games, how everyone's saying, you know, we're going straight to that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, these services aren't going to be around forever.
Yeah.
You know, eventually we're going to get another Nintendo console, and the Switch is going to be, you know, null and void, same thing with PS4 and Xbox One.
Yeah.
All these games that you're getting digital, and, you know, I think I mentioned it before. If I haven't mentioned the podcast, I've definitely talked about this, is that it goes along the lines of, say, you know, when I worked at GameStop and someone went to trade in their PS3 or PS4, and they're like, yeah, I've got a PS4 with, like, you know, 10 games on it, and I bought $60 for all of them. Well, sorry, we're going to format it, and, you know, I can't give you anything for those 10 games. Even if you had the 10 games separate and we gave you a dollar a piece, you know, it's 10 more dollars that you would have had.
But even then, I'm going to interrupt for a second. If you have an old Switch,
yes,
or an old PS4 or an old PS3 or whatever you have that has digital games on it,
right,
as long as that console runs, those games are downloaded.
Right.
And you can generally, you know, some of them, it's like they're always online. You have those always online games and you can't access those without internet. But generally, 9 times out of 10, even after, you know, the system is obsolete, if that's downloaded on that system's hard drive, you can still play that game until you decide to get rid of that console.
Right, but
With movies, you don't get that option. So they require you to use it through their systems a lot of times.
Mm-hmm.
So let's say, you know, like, so you buy like an Ultraviolet movie, but then you have to watch it through Ultraviolet. So even if they shutter their doors, and a lot of them just don't let you download, a lot of them you have to stream. But even if they do, there are some services that let you download your films. But if you download them and Ultraviolet closes their doors, you still can't watch them because you have to watch them through Ultraviolet. And so without the Ultraviolet system up and running, you're still out that movie, even if it's like downloaded locally on your hard drive. And so it kind of comes down to that, you know, like even with like video games, you can, you, as long as they're locally stored, most of the time you can still use them even after they've become obsolete. And with movies, that is generally not an option anymore.
Mm. That's true. But then I just think about things like, well, what if something happens later on to say your console or a computer or whatever, and it just kind of, you know, once it's gone, I mean, you know, eventually, like, well, I'll keep saying Nintendo, you know, their service is going to be, you know, eventually they're going to shut it down, like they did with the Wii, like they did with the original DS, not the 3DS. Mm-hmm. And you can't go back and re-download it, and all those games are gone. Like, say your Switch craps dust. It's not like an original Nintendo where you can go and, like, oh, my original Nintendo's broken, I'll just get another one, or a third-party one, like a Retron, and pop in the games and play them again. You know, but in terms of these type of things, is that, and this is why I will always do physical, and this is why, you know, physical's not done yet, because there's a company out there kind of going with a video game thing called Limited Run Games that are making physical copies of these download digital only games that are selling out. It's not like that they're not, they don't have a audience that they're trying to go to. So I like the idea that you said with that, and I think it also would come down to an integrity thing. Like, let's say you downloaded your collection, you know, through Vudu for the $1.50, $2. Mm-hmm. What are you going to do with them then? Because you could just as easily upload them all to YouTube, upload them to Hulu, upload them anywhere.
Well, even then, it's like whenever they're downloaded, you kind of have to go through the proper channels.
You're right.
Like, you can, if you just upload the files, they're not viewable in a YouTube format. They're still locked in. And I think that's why it helps a lot to have like servers. Like, I've got a media server set up here so that I can watch like digital copies from other services and things. And, you know, and it's called Plex. If you guys have heard of Plex, it's a really good like media server, because it's got a lot of channels you can add, and it's got a lot of like connections you can connect like digital libraries and things to it. But at the same time, you know, it still kind of falls into that same trap of like, if one day like my Movies Anywhere or Vudu or something like that goes down, that's a portion of my digital collection that's just poof into the air.
So I think we kind of agree, kind of disagree on this one.
Yeah.
Movies are a little different for me than games, because I think of the game aspect of like, you know, when, you know, like when a service shuts down and something happens to your console, you have all these things downloaded, well, you're kind of SOL at that point. Mm-hmm. Then you'll have to go out and buy another console and then buy the games that you want to play again. Whereas with, you know, me in, say, 20 years, if my Switch craps out, I can just go and buy another one, a third-party one, and I'd have to start all my games over again, but I don't need a, you know, I mean, I still have all my games, essentially. Mm-hmm. So movies are a little different, you know. I'm still a little back and forth about it, because the way that I look at it is like, you own the movie, but you don't own the rights to the movie.
Yeah.
You know, what you choose to do with anything. Once you buy something, you know, people ask me all the time, you know, because I buy and sell things. And, you know, whether they buy something for me for $1 or $500, I'm like, whatever they do with it after that payment clears, I can care less.
Yeah.
You know, because they now own that item, you know. I mean, if it doesn't matter. Like, I know you guys can't see it here, but Tyler's got a whole bunch of the Funko Pops right here in front of him. You know, he doesn't own Funko. He doesn't own the rights to the characters that they are. But if Tyler wanted to open his window over here to the side and throw them all out into the woods, he can't, because he owns these particular Funkos. These are his items to do whatever he wants to do. Mm-hmm. You know, and that's just kind of how I look at things. But it would just come down to an integrity thing, I think, with the movies, which I'm not saying you would do anything, but, you know, obviously, I remember, I believe it was a year ago, maybe a year and a half ago, I don't know if you ever saw this. This was actually really, it was clever. It was one of the UFC fights, and a user went on Twitch streaming the UFC fight. But he was in the corner with a controller, acting like he was playing the game to not violate the rights of, hey, you know, we're streaming something. So the one user paid for, you know, the fight, whatever, put it up for free for everybody to see, and he was just in the corner with the controller, like, yeah, jab, you know, doing whatever. And that's just kind of how it goes. It's like, well, how many users could essentially do that? Like, put up, say, Avengers, and also then just be in the corner like a controller, acting like they're playing the game during an action scene rather than, you know, during a scene when, like, they're just kind of talking, you know, he can act like, damn, what a good cutscene this is.
Yeah.
You know? So that's kind of some of the things that I look at. But at the end of the day, for me, you know, I guess it really doesn't matter for me because a lot of these movie companies, they've already made, well, I'm going to use Marvel for an example, is that when they put out a movie, Marvel already made back their money plus profit just in theaters alone. Mm-hmm. So later on, when the movie comes out on Blu-ray, DVD, digital, the red box, all the, that's just more icing to the cake for them.
Yeah.
But for like a smaller S movie or one that might not have done well, I'm going to use the Power Rangers movie that came out last year as an example, is that, you know, Power Rangers the movie had a budget of $100 million.
Mm-hmm.
During its time in theaters across the world, it made back the $100 million. Like, if it had a profit, it was a very small one. So for a movie like that, when the Blu-rays and DVDs came out, that kind of was helping it out a little bit more to make its money.
Yeah.
You know, but again, like something like Avengers or, say, you know, Winnie the Pooh when that comes out, the new Harry Potter, the new Harry Potter that's coming out in November that we're going to go see.
The Crimes of Grindelwald.
That is essentially going to make back its money right away, you know. Mm-hmm. Solo didn't make back its money right away, but when Star Wars Episode 7 came out, before anything, like, that made back its money, like, a day? Week?
I thought that had pretty much, like, made up its money in just pre-sales.
Pretty much, yeah. So you have something like that, and then when they release more stuff, like the movie on Blu-ray, DVD, digital, that just adds more to it.
Yeah.
So it really depends on how you look at it. And obviously, you know, Disney is a business, you know. Marvel is a business. You know, they need to make money to keep going. They don't just say, okay, we capped off at this, so we don't give a crap about the movie sales. No, they're going to care about the movie sales. They have to constantly do this. Because it's just like any business. If you don't have something to give to the consumer, you're not going to have a business in time because it's like, well, why would I keep coming here? Why would I keep doing this?
Yeah.
So anyway, do you have any more thoughts that you'd like to add to that? Was that pretty much
going on? No, that's pretty comprehensive.
All right. So anyway, guys, thank you so much for watching. Hopefully episode 6, because we still don't know if this is 5 or 6. We'll be back in a few weeks. I will make sure to post updates on the Facebook and Instagram.
Yeah. We'll still be around. We'll still be talking to you guys and stuff. We'll just...
Yes.
We'll have an extra week before our next podcast. It'll be 3 weeks instead of 2.
And I will be... I know I've been saying this a lot. I had a busy past couple weeks. I'm going to get myself up and streaming on our page. I do have my Elgato. I got some stuff downloaded for that so I can actually use this stupid thing. Thank you for Tyler for helping me walk through this,
because
I had no idea. But I will make sure to get some stuff up there. We'll be back in 3 weeks. Obviously, please keep asking questions down below. We can do like an actual Q&A. And so come back in about 3 weeks or so. We'll post an actual date when we will be back.
Mm-hmm.
And until then, guys, thank you so much for watching.
See ya.